Hey, good morning, everyone. It's good to join you virtually again. I wish we could be in person. I really miss everyone. Hopefully we can do a little bit more this week to connect. If you haven't connected with us, I encourage you, please do that. We miss you, and it's good to see your faces even on a computer screen or even to hear from you. I'll be calling everybody again this week. So I will connect with you that way. But if you can join us, please do. And again, like we said, we're going to have a couple more things. I'll get to that next week. But Tuesday, again, 6 p.m., prayer meeting. And again, we do this via video or audio conference. Either one, you can join. If you have a problem with the video or getting on with the video, all you have to do is dial into the phone number, put in a nine-digit code, and you're in on the audio bridge. So you can still join us. And so that's Tuesday, 6 p.m. for prayer meeting. We've really had a good time with that. We've had a few new ones join us, and it's just really been great. So please join us with that. Wednesday night, 6 p.m. as well, is the Women's Bible Study. And that is also via the same video conference, audio conference bridge. And again, I'll put the link below in the underneath the sermon on the YouTube video here. So you'll have access to it, and I'll also text that out to everybody. If you haven't downloaded the GroupMe app for your phone, please do that. I'm trying to get away from the texting, so I don't have to send out mass text to everybody. But if you get the GroupMe app, it's a little more discreet, and you also can tell who's saying what in that group chat. So download, all you have to do is go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and do a search on GroupMe. And let me know, and then I'll send you the invite link for that. But it'd be good to get everybody connected if you have a smartphone. But that is it as far as announcements go. Today is Palm Sunday, and normally we'd be so excited that we were getting to Easter in the church, and we get excited about the weather warming up, and we get excited about some of the things that we have planned for Easter. We won't be doing that this year, obviously, but we do still have some things planned. We have an Easter egg basket that we're going to be delivering out to our young people, and just to let them know we love them. Nicole's been doing Sunday school with them live, which has been great, and then she's also going to do another night with them just to keep them connected and minister to them. So we still have some things going. We're going to be doing some ministry with some people around here as far as needing meals or anything they may need. We got some brainstorming going on about that. If you want to be involved or you want to give to that, please contact me, let me know, and we'll make that happen. But that's about all for this week announcements. But I hope you guys have a blessed Palm Sunday, and I hope you're looking forward to your own Easter in your house. You can lift him up, worship him. There's no boundaries on him. But join me and join us for anything that we may have. I want to be connected, but we miss you and we love you, and we can't wait to see you again. Can't wait till this is all over. But if you could turn your Bibles to John 12, and I'm going to read verses 12 and 13, and then I'm going to jump to Psalm 107, and I want to read verses 21 and 22. But let's start with John 12. John 12, again, verses 12 and 13. And this talks about Jesus entering into Jerusalem. This is the proclamation that he is who he said he was. He is the Messiah. And this is the first time publicly he's recognized as the Messiah. But in verse 12, in John 12, it says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" So he is being publicly recognized as who he is, as the Messiah. And we see that he's riding into Jerusalem. He is facing death. He knows his purpose. He knows why he came. But in the midst of him facing death, knowing that he's coming closer and closer to death, he's eliciting the praise of his people. He knows his purpose. And he's eliciting this praise. And though the intentions of those people may have been misdirected because they didn't know the fullness of what he was going to be doing, he still elicited their praise. But today I want to talk about eliciting him eliciting our praise for the right intentions, for us knowing who he is, and for us offering him a sacrifice because of who he is. In Psalm 107, 21 and 22, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." In a time like we're living in, I think the best thing we can do is offer sacrifices to God. And those sacrifices are the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we see those all throughout the Word. What can we do in this time? We can offer to God sacrifices. And we, from those sacrifices, we connect with him. We take the focus off of ourselves. And we realize and receive the blessing of God through our sacrifices. But now is a time when we need to think about all the blessings in our life, all the way that God has blessed us, and through that, to offer ourselves to him. But we have to also remember all the times we've been ungrateful. I think now is a time when I've realized, Lord, how ungrateful I've been for all the blessings that you've given to me. But what a time to pause and to realize all those blessings and to think even more how I can be grateful now with how good you are to me, God, with how many times and how much you've blessed me. And let me offer myself to you, Lord, because you have blessed me so richly and because you're worthy of my sacrifice. If we look in the Word of God, there's in so many places that it says that we need to give thanks and we need to praise the Lord. We need to exalt him. And specifically in Psalm 107, 22, it says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." We see the Israelites in the Old Testament were sacrificing animals. They were sacrificing for their sin. But they had the sacrificial system backwards, because God also called them to sacrifice thanksgiving, to declare his works with rejoicing. And that is a forward-facing sacrifice. It's not a backward-facing one. They sacrificed through their thanks. It was an attitude of the heart. And we now need to have an attitude of the heart that looks to God and thanks him and praises him for how good he is. He is most glad with our attitude of thanksgiving. We see in Jeremiah that Jeremiah lived in a day when, much like we do, in a day when sin ran rampant, when listening to the voice of God wasn't so evident. And Jeremiah had the difficult task of prophesying doom and destruction. And many times in the church, many times we as Christians, we have to prophesy, we have to speak doom and destruction. And it's not a fun thing to do, but it's needed because it's a warning of what is to come. But in the midst of Jeremiah sacrificing, or in the midst of Jeremiah in his day, prophesying doom, prophesying a warning, and we also give a warning to the world through love, we have to give a warning. But Jeremiah gives a warning, and there's death all around him. After his warning becomes the judgment of God and comes all the things that were happening in his land. But in the midst of all those things happening, and amidst him being in the middle of all those things happening, he knows who God is, and he still offers the sacrifices of thanksgiving, of praise, of himself to God. So what do we do in the midst of the day we're living in? We give the sacrifice of praise to God. In Psalm 107, 22, what does it mean specifically? He says, the psalmist says, the sacrifice, to offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving. So what's he saying? In 1 Peter 2, 5, it says that one of our purposes is to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So offer up spiritual sacrifices, offer up ourselves, offer up what God has given us spiritually back to him, offer him acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. One of the best parents you can ever get, or one of the best presents you can ever get as a parent, is when your child comes to you and offers to you the gift of thankfulness, saying, "Thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad, for everything you've done for me. I appreciate it. I recognize it. I see it. Nothing blesses a parent more than to have their child come to them and tell them how much they love them, tell them how thankful for that they are for their sacrifices they've given to the child, how they've raised them, how they have provided for them. Nothing will bless a parent more than to hear those words from their child. So in the same way, God is longing to receive your thanksgiving in his ears. In King Lear, Shakespeare wrote, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." So shouldn't we be the opposite to God? Shouldn't we be thankful children offering the sacrifices of thanks to show our thanks to God? So let's talk about three ways we can do that. There's three ways we can offer our thanks and our sacrifice to God. And the first one, we find that in Romans 12, 1 and 2, but we offer the sacrifice of ourselves. I find in myself something that rages, that is so selfish, that wants to spend every waking moment on myself, that wants to spend money on myself, that wants to spend time on myself. And so I have to force myself at times to focus solely on him, to take the time to sacrifice myself and my wants and my desires, to sacrifice myself to focus on Jesus Christ, to focus on his glory, to focus on his goodness and mercy. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So Romans even tells us that we ourselves are to be a living sacrifice. And not only is Romans saying be a living sacrifice, but Paul's saying, "I beseech ye, brethren." He's pleading with us. He's saying, I implore you, I beg you, I request of you, I plead with you that it is really important that you offer yourself a living sacrifice to God. We're to be living sacrifices. We're to be alive and on this earth, but we're to die sacrificially to God with all of our wants, desires, all of our worldly goals. They're all to be laid down at the altar of God, and we are to offer ourselves to him. We are to be his praise people, his praise vessels who lift him up, who worship him. In spite of everything internally that we want to do, we take the time, we pause, and we sacrifice those things to offer to him thanks. Why do we want to do that? Paul says this, there's a reason why we would want to sacrifice ourselves, to be living sacrifices to God. But he says this, he says, in view of God's mercies. In view of God's mercies, offer yourself. And so what he's saying is, if we only knew what God has really done for us, if we only had a clue of the complete picture of what God completely has done for us, not only in this day, not only in the days that we have lived where he has just blessed us monetarily, materially, with family, but then beyond that, he has blessed us in so many ways in view of his mercies, that he gave his body for me, that he gave his blood for me, that he gave his whole life for me. In view of those mercies, I sacrifice myself to him. One minister said this, he said, "Christ died upon the cross, and by our sin we drove those nails into his hands. His quivering heart was saying, 'I love you.' Those nails were my sins, and my hard heart was the hammer that drove those nails into the palms of Jesus. And yet he suffered and bled and died for our sins." And when you hear that, when you read that, you can't help but be cut to the heart, realizing that your own sins are what drove the nails into Jesus' hands. Your sins and your failings are what sacrificed Jesus on the cross. Personalize that. My attitude, my stubbornness, my selfishness drove the nails into Jesus' hands and feet. And in light of what he has done for me, I should sacrifice everything for him. I'm not even worthy to sacrifice. But he's made me worthy. And I see what my sin has done to him, but I see how through his sacrifice for me, how he has enabled me to sacrifice myself for him. He's worthy of the praise we have to give him. He's worthy of the sacrifice that we have to give of ourselves. If you look at the whole book of Romans, Paul's really telling you about all the mercies of God that he's given to us, that we owe him the sacrifice of ourselves. In chapter 12, Paul says, because of his mercies, give yourself to him. And one of the dumbest things I ever did, and I ever thought I did, and I probably said this before, but at the time I reckoned this to be the dumbest thing I ever did, was join the Navy. And for the first year, I kept saying to myself, why did I do this? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? I couldn't go where I wanted to go. I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. I couldn't eat where I wanted to eat. I was confined, and it felt like I was confined, and I kept saying, why did I do this? And then three more years passed, and those 3 years seemed like an eternity, but after those 3 years, I was able to look back, and then I realized that even though I thought it was the dumbest decision I'd ever made, I realized at that point it was one of the best decisions of my life. And it taught me things I needed to know in life. It blessed me. It blessed me. And when we come to God to offer ourselves, it has to be like that. First of all, it has to be voluntary. It has to be of our own accord. And then we can never fully understand all the blessings that we realize after the fact until we took that initial jump and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to volunteer. But since Christ gave all for us, don't we owe all of us to him? Since Christ gave all for us, don't we owe all of us to him? We offer ourselves a living sacrifice. The second thing we can offer is simply our praise. We offer our praise to him. In Hebrews 13, 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And we don't do this in self-righteousness. We don't do this looking at ourselves, oh, darn it, I'm pretty good and I've come a long way. We can't do that. We've got to approach him humbly, lowly. Because how effective is your praise if you've already elevated yourself to a height? But when we approach him lowly and we offer our praise up, it's much more effective. There's something about this verse, and it's really significant, but it says to praise God continually, and how guilty are we of not doing just that, of getting into a pattern of just praising him all the time for everything he's done. How many times have we stopped and we started to complain? We've started to grumble. We've picked out all the bad things that have happened. But God says, or in his word, he says that we owe him praise continually, praise that never stops. Praise that comes out of our lips should glorify him, should lift him up, should speak of how great he is, of how many blessings he's bestowed upon us. And that praise should come from this well within our hearts that's overflowing with gratefulness. Not out of a shallow well where we have spent so much time complaining that when we do go to praise God, it's a shallow praise because it's not coming out of a well of deep thanks. It's an attitude of the heart. But praise to God is important. And the thing is, God desires to receive true praise from us. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So praise isn't just singing songs. It's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude that's thankful. It's an attitude that's evidenced by the sound that comes out of our mouths. So many times we use our mouths, we use the sound of our mouths to curse, to gossip, to do so many things that when it comes to praise, the well is just not there. The attitude of heart is just not there. But we have to be careful to watch our heart, the attitude of our heart, to watch our mouth, and how much sweeter our praise will be when it comes from a proper attitude of heart that is thankful to God. One pastor said that you don't come to church to praise the Lord. You're to bring your praise with you to church. You don't commence your praise here. You continue your praise here. So church isn't a place to just praise God and not praise when you're not here, but church is a place where you have praised all week, and then when you come into church, your praise is overflowing because you're so thankful to God. And while we can't meet, we should know this, that while we're apart, we should let our praise build and build and build. And then when we can finally meet together, our praise should be so resounding in this place. It should be so loud that we should raise the roof with the sound of praise on our mouths together. I'm expecting that day. I'm expecting the day when we all meet together and we're so full of the praise of God through this time and so full of the thankfulness of God in this time that when we do meet, that the sound of praise is so loud in this church that it raises the roof literally. We're to offer our praise to God. The third thing is we're to offer the sacrifice of prayer. We talked about prayer last week, but we're going to continue this week a little bit. We are to offer the sacrifice of prayer because it is a sacrifice to offer God prayer. We find so many reasons not to do it. We find so many reasons to do something else. In Psalm 141:2, it says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice." I found myself very distracted at times. And one thing I've learned to do this week is not even to listen to just praise songs or worship songs, but I've learned to listen to just piano praise. That I'm not distracted by words so much, but it gives me time to just to speak with God, to contemplate how good He is, what He's given me, to contemplate my sin, and just confess it to Him. But to spend time with Him praying. It is a lost art to just spend time with God, but it is needed in times like this, in all times, but especially times like this. But our prayers, this psalm says, are like two things. They're like incense to God. Do you understand that God desires your prayer? It becomes as incense to Him. It's a sweet-smelling aroma to Him. And then they says it's like an evening sacrifice. It's like an incense and an evening sacrifice. It's like incense being like the perfume raising to God, being released to God, that He's able to smell it, that it's sweet to Him. But incense, in order for it to be released, has to be put in fire. I remember in the late 70s and early 80s that incense became all the rage, that all the kids were burning incense and you'd smell those smells everywhere you went. These little incense sticks would be burning. But the thing about the incense was the sweet aroma never was released from the incense stick until it was burned with fire. And so when it's burned, the aroma goes up in smoke to God's nostrils. In Revelation 5, it talks about the vials of incense. And those vials of incense are specifically called the prayers of the saints of God. We see in the Old Testament, it talks about the altar of incense, and that the priest had to go through the brazen altar and then to the altar of incense before he entered into the Holy of Holies. And what he's saying is that we come to God through the altar, through the incense, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we're able to pray and we're able to offer sacrifices to God. And our prayers are the sacrifices to God. The sacrifices to God in our prayers is our time. And it's our time for God to commune with us and for us to commune with God. What are we missing out on by not spending that time communing with Him? What instruction are we missing out on by not spending that time with Him? We get so busy with so many other things and we feel so depleted by the end of the day. And then we'll say things like, "I just don't know what God wants me to do." Because we haven't offered to Him the sacrifice of prayer to know what He wants us to do. And we feel confused. We feel anxious. We feel rushed. But today we need to know we need to stop. Whatever you deemed as important yesterday is not so important today. So take that time. Get alone with God. Spend time with Him. Listen. Speak. But listen. Take the time for God to commune with you, and take time for you to commune with God. It is called a sacrifice. But when we spend time in prayer, we realize that it's not such a sacrifice. It ends up becoming more of a blessing, and more of a blessing than we realized, than what we would consider a sacrifice. Not only does God hear from us, but we are enabled. When we take and we sacrifice our time in prayer, we're enabled to hear from Him. And who doesn't want to hear from God? We need to hear from God. God loves our prayers. He loves our prayers. So in this time, I want you to remember how good God is. I want you to remember how worthy God is. And I want you to take this time to offer sacrifices to Him. If you are void of joy and calmness and peace, ask yourself, what do I need to sacrifice to receive the joy of God? What do I need to sacrifice to receive the blessing of God? Sacrifice yourself. Become a living sacrifice. Whatever your needs, your wants, and desires were, lay them down upon the altar of God. Decide that you're going to sacrifice those things for Him. Offer the sacrifices of praise this week. Praise Him for everything He's worth, everything He did, everything you're unworthy for. Just praise Him continually. Don't let those complaints and grumbling come into your mind and come out your mouth, but continually praise Him. And then finally, offer the sacrifices of your prayer. Spend time with Him this week. All of us probably have plenty of time, but take that time and just pray with Him. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to always offer the ability to do that at the end of my sermons. But you can ask Him into your heart and life. Do you realize there's nothing on this earth like Him? That you can be saved, you can be assured of eternal life, you can be assured of being void or being absent from the wrath of God, that the world awaits the wrath of God, but you, through accepting Jesus Christ, can avoid the wrath of God because He loves you. He loves you. You can invite Him into your heart. You can simply pray this way. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord, I have sinned greatly against You. I recognize that. Father, I'm not worthy, and I'm sorry. Lord, I know that You died for my sins. I know by Your blood You have sacrificed for me. So I trust You as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that You died and You rose again, and You live at the right hand of God, the Father. I ask that You would come into my heart to cleanse me, to save me. Lord, I thank You that You've given me eternal life, and I trust in You. In Jesus' name, the rest of us, let's all pray together. Father, help us to be a sacrifice this week. Help us to sacrifice ourselves, Lord, our desires, our wants. Help us to sacrifice with the praise of our lips, and that comes out of a grateful heart. And Father, help us to sacrifice by our prayer time this week, by spending time with You, by listening to Your voice, Lord, and by speaking to You. Lord, renew us with Your joy. Renew us in the spirit of praise and worship. Renew our thankfulness, Lord. We just thank You, we love You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week.